I hope everyone is doing as well as I feel like I am, and I hope everyone is happy this morning. I hope it's been a great day. What a great worship service we've had so far. Had a great Bible study in the auditorium this morning, and I want you to know that if you're not if it's not been your practice to come to Sunday school or to Bible study, Bible class, or whatever you want to call it on Sunday mornings at 9, you're really missing something. And no matter where it is that you fit, whether you go to one of our children's classes or our teen youth program or college class or here in the auditorium with the rest of us adults, we have really great discussions about the scriptures and are able to get down into the milk and the meat and to chew on things and make applications to our lives. And so I want to invite you to come at 9 and join in our Bible classes. And I can tell you, with all honesty, God is my witness, you won't be sorry that you did, and you will be blessed for it. What a great week we wound up yesterday, and a lot of good things. I want to remind all of our ladies who have that time slot available on Wednesday mornings at 10, that this coming Wednesday will be the last actual ladies' class that we have this year. I believe the next week the ladies are going to make baskets together for the holidays. But this coming Wednesday will be our last class until January, until I believe January the 8th, although the calendar in my head may be wrong. So I want to invite you to come. The last discussion that we'll have of great ladies in the scriptures will be a very interesting lady named Bathsheba. That'll be this Wednesday at 10. Many of you that have seen the bulletin know that we are officially kicking off our visitation / personal evangelism program this Tuesday night at 6. And this has come at the completion of a 10-week or so class on personal evangelism that we've been having on Sunday afternoons. And so those of you that feel like the gift to go out and visit folks and welcome them and discuss things with them is included in that list of talents God gave you, we welcome you to join us Tuesday nights at 6. And we'll pair up into teams, and we'll go out and visit those that have visited services or new to the community or some of our shut-ins or those that need encouragement, whatever it is that we have to do. That's what we're going to go out and do Tuesday. So I want to invite you to be involved with that. Well, this morning, I think you can see by the presentation basically what we're going to talk about. I tried to go for subtlety this time, but I think I think you probably all have figured it out by now. It is November, or as I saw someone post on Facebook, it is Thanksvember. That's a new one for me. I like, and as Michael Greenfield said on Facebook, this year Thanksgiving falls on a Thursday. So we're excited about that. I always like it when Thanksgiving falls on a Thursday. I thought that was hilarious, by the way. Well, you know, why are we talking about Thanksgiving now? I mean, we're a good couple of weeks away. Well, listen, you know, oftentimes in our culture, folks don't think about Thanksgiving maybe as often as we should. And it takes sometimes the rolling around of November and thinking about Thanksgiving Day for some of us to really begin to think about giving thanks. Well, we don't want to go into Thanksgiving this year cold turkey. So we're going to start talking about it a couple of weeks earlier. All right, so today our lesson is about giving thanks. Our scripture reading this morning was from the book of Philippians chapter 4, beginning of verse 4. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul gives us an interesting commandment. He says, rejoice, that's his commandment. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, it's a list of attached and dependent commandments. It's about what we are to do and the attitudes with which we are to do those things. And now, the last portion of the passage teaches us the result. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now we see in this passage several things that are our favorite things in life. We see rejoicing, reasonableness, Don't you love it when somebody's reasonable with you? Especially maybe if you're dealing in business in some way. You don't want to deal with somebody that's unreasonable. You want to deal with someone that's reasonable. But we got rejoicing, reasonableness, freedom from anxiety. Don't we love that? Peace, security, guarding your hearts and your minds. We've got all of these wonderful blessings, all of these wonderful states of being that we so desire in our lives today. And in this passage, all of those things are centered on thanksgiving. The prayer is one to be done with thanksgiving. And so as we think about giving thanks, we need to understand that giving thanks is tied to our being able to have peace, reasonableness, freedom from anxiety, security, and yes, rejoicing. Thanksgiving will increase the rejoicing in our lives. And so the title of today's sermon is An Attitude of Gratitude. And you know, that's one of those little cliches that we like to bring up when we're thinking about this subject. But thanksgiving, it really, if it is what the Scriptures teach us that it should be, it is not just something that we do every now and then. And it's not, as some folks in the world think, something we do every November. But thanksgiving ought to be a state of being, a state of mind. It ought to be something that characterizes our whole frame of thought. 365 and one quarter days a year. Yes, even on leap day, on leap year, our hearts ought to be characterized by an attitude of gratitude. There are some folks we read about in the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 21 who did not have this attitude of gratitude. The Apostle Paul says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him." You see how that's tied in with this? "But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Are you sometimes tempted to think that giving thanks to God is one of those peripheral things in faith and Christianity? Having an attitude of gratitude, is that something that is an add-on to Christianity, maybe optional? And this passage doesn't say so. Now, if you are a deep Bible student and you're familiar with the book of Romans, and particularly with Romans chapter 1, you know what Paul's talking about. He's explaining how the heathen Gentiles of his day became the hardened idolaters that they had become. And how they had gone from at one time in the ancient world being people who knew of God and knew of His truth and knew of His righteousness to having become the immoral, wicked people that they were there, making up the nation of Rome in Paul's day. And one of the reasons why their ancestors had turned away from all of the good that they knew to embrace all of the bad that had led to such a wicked world, one of the reasons was a lack of thanksgiving. Because they did not give God thanks, they became futile in their thinking. And their futile hearts, their foolish hearts, were darkened. This morning we need to understand that the knowledge of the reality of God's existence and of our existence as His creations ought, as a matter of principle, to fill our hearts with thanksgiving. As people made in the likeness of God, thanksgiving ought to just be a principle of our lives. We ought to just be characterized by it. And we need to understand, and we need to be warned, that when you and I are not being thankful to God, please listen now, when you or I are not being thankful to God, it is because our perception of reality has been diminished. Does that sound complicated? Let me make it real simple. When you or I are not living in a state of thankfulness, it's because we have, to some degree or another, left reality and gone off into a fantasy world of our own creation. Because being in reality is being thankful to God. And so we understand then that there is a correlation between perception and reality. You know, we need to have a clear perception of reality in order to have the mindset that God would have us to have with regarding thanksgiving. Now listen to this. Living your best life depends upon your being able to make healthy decisions. Making healthy decisions will lead to you being able to live your best life. Now, if you begin making unhealthy decisions, that is foolish decisions, that is immoral decisions, bad decisions of any type, if your life begins to be characterized by bad decisions, it will lead you not to live your best life, but it'll lead you down the path that ends up in your worst life, maybe your worst nightmare. You see, the decisions that we make have everything to do with the quality of our lives. I'm not saying that there aren't things around us that we can't control. Certainly that there are those things. But making wise decisions makes even those things we can't control better, and makes our lives better even in those periods of time. Listen, so we want to be able to make healthy decisions. Healthy decisions are in tune with reality, not a fantasy world. You see, if I cease to be thankful to God because my perception is focusing on the negative aspects of life, focusing on my weaknesses or my temptations, or focusing on the things that I don't have but want, and in so doing forgetting about all of the many things that I do have that God has supplied for me, when my focus shifts to that so that I become a negative person, then I'm tempted to shift away from this attitude of gratitude, and I want to create a world of my own making. Fantasy world. A world in which I think that somehow maybe I can supply the things that I want through materialism or through impurity or through pride or something like that. Or a world in which I rebel against God and I create a mindset of God that says God is mean, God doesn't love me, God doesn't bless me, He won't answer my prayers. Or maybe even I follow that road all the way into agnosticism or atheism. All of those are forms of a fantasy world. It's not in tune with reality. And those fantasy worlds actually separate me from the love of my God. I choose to be separate from the love of God. And therefore, the decisions that I make are no longer in tune with the reality of the existence of a good and holy and righteous and loving God who longs to bless us. Now, that's the real world. So my decisions are affected by that. I become more and more foolish as I make decisions based upon a world that doesn't exist, based on an inaccurate view of God. And your grasp of reality cannot exceed your perception. There are folks that say people's perceptions are their realities. Your perception is your reality. Now, if you perceive something about the world in an inaccurate way, if you decide, God doesn't love me, that's an inaccurate perception because God does love you. John 3:16. So many other passages teach us that that's true. God loves us all. He loves the whole world. But if you come to this mistaken perception of reality that says God doesn't love me, that will become your reality so far as your world is concerned. You'll see the world through those lenses. You'll make decisions based upon that thought and that fantasy world. But since that perception is not in tune with reality, wow, those decisions are going to be bad. You won't be able to realize what really is happening around you. You won't be able to learn the lessons that God would have you to learn, maybe even through, the negative things that He allows to come into our lives, because your perception is off base, and therefore you cannot grasp reality. Remember, healthy decisions are in tune with reality. You begin to fail in making healthy decisions. Listen, we understand from this, just putting 1 plus 1, 2 plus 2, we understand that being realistic is the first step toward happiness. In fact, I was reading a book about spirituality recently in which the author said that being spiritual is being in reality 100% of the time. It's what the Bible calls being sober-minded. That is, looking around at the world and seeing it for what it really is. That means looking into our own hearts with an honest perception and seeing not what we wish was there, but seeing what really is there. And that can sometimes be very hurtful to us because we want the realities of our own lives to be better than what they are. And so we create a fantasy view of ourselves. And when you create a view of yourself that isn't true to your strengths and to your weaknesses, not just to your weaknesses, but your strengths too. When you create a fantasy image of yourself that is not real to the person you truly are, then your whole compass is off. You begin to to make bad decisions, thinking that they're good decisions. You begin to turn down this path and that path to the left or to the right, and you believe it's the straight and narrow way. You believe it's the path that God would have you to follow. You believe it's the path to happiness, but it leads to deeper and deeper and deeper depression. And when you find yourself heading down those paths where your unhappiness is decreasing, I want you to consider the possibility that maybe your perception of reality is off center. Maybe your view into your own heart of who you are actually in your relationship to God is not thoroughly honest. You see, when I'm living in a fantasy world, I'm trying my best to pretend that things are the way that I wish they were. Reality is, well, it's kind of hard for me to swallow, and I think that I don't want to be in reality. Reality is so hard. It's so harsh. In reality, people don't do what they ought to do. And in reality, I have to realize that I'm not always right. In reality, I have to swallow the fact that many of the bad things in my life are my own fault. I don't want to think that. But embracing that, being real, and recognizing that God still loves me even though I am to blame for the bad things in my life. Well, that begins my walking down a new road. A truly straight road, a narrow road. One that enables me to begin to experience the blessings of God in truth and in reality. And so listen, we all want to be happy this morning. We all want to be happy. Being thankful to God, regardless of the circumstances in our lives. Recognizing that if God has allowed it to happen, it's good and it's right, and He's going to bring it to a good and right purpose and end is essential. We have to be in that state of reality to be happy. And you will never find happiness in a fantasy world. It will betray you every time because it's empty. So perception and reality are closely related. We understand that reality is based on the will and providence of God, and that healthy decisions are decisions that are made in tune with God's will and God's providence. What would God have me to do in this situation? You want to be happy? Ask that question about any fork of the road that you come to. And so all of this starts with perceiving what God's will and providence has done for you. As the song we just thankfully sang together, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Well, that takes a little bit of work. It takes a little bit of time for us to sit in meditation and just to look back in our mind's eyes and look back over a lifetime of God's providence, the ways that God has protected us, the ways that God has provided for us, the ways that God has been near us when we needed Him to be close, the ways that God has forgiven us of our own sins and shortcomings, that He still puts up with us in spite of our imperfections. Looking back to the cross of Christ and seeing there the love of God demonstrated in a way that cannot be exceeded, and recognizing that if I had been the only sinner, God would have done that for me. Well, that just changes your whole view of things. And maybe it does sound too good to be true for the person living in a fantasy world of sin and darkness. But the one who takes the risk of stepping out into the light of reality realizes, it is true. And that is the nature of my God. He doesn't promise me that every moment will be a bed of roses. But He promises me that His will, His providence, His reality is a road to my happiness. And therefore, I want to perceive things the way that God perceives things. Being thankful is the first step toward happiness. Thankful people are happy people. People that don't give thanks to God for His blessings are miserable people. I could end the sermon with that, but I'm not going to. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, we hear this from Moses in verse 18. He says, "You shall remember the Lord your God." This is a commandment. Listen. "For it is He who gives you power to get wealth." You know, we thank the founder of our feast when we assemble around the Thanksgiving table. We thank God, the founder of our feast. God is so truly the founder of our feast every day. Whether that is a lean day, a diet day, or whether that is a day of rejoicing and celebration with all of the fixings and desserts and what have you. If it's a holiday or if it's a normal day, whatever we want to call it. God is the founder of everything good that we have. Not the economy, not your talents, not your ingenuity, or not luck. God is the source of everything good that's in your life. I want us to consider the book of Acts, chapter 14. And I'm going to read beginning in verse 8. Here the Apostle Paul, we have the account of Paul and Barnabas at Lystra. Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 18. Now at Lystra there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul speaking, and Paul, looking intently at him and seeing that he had faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he sprang up and began walking. And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in Lycaonian, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance to the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gate and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their garments and rushed out into the crowd, crying out, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways." Note verse 17. "Yet he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." Even with these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifice to them. Now this passage is one that is deep and that is rich with meaning. You know, the folks here in Lystra were the descendants of the folks Paul was talking about in Romans 1, who had ceased to be thankful. Their foolish hearts were darkened. They turned away into idolatry. All of the evil they wanted to do in sacrificing oxen to these human beings, these mere mortals that they were labeling as Zeus and Hermes, because their perception of reality was so far off kilter. But the Apostle Paul had an important word. You see, their lives were dominated by the false spiritually, by idolatry, because of a warped view of reality. And Paul, in this context, tried to give them corrective spiritual lenses when he told them who God really is. And this is the point for us today. God had even been good to those sinful idol worshipers. Well, the number one argument that Paul had to them is why they should turn from those vain ways, those fantasy world ways, was that even in their wickedness, God had not left himself without witness, but had done good to them. God is good. And he'd given them rain and fruitful seasons. It's as Jesus says when he summarizes the Sermon on the Mount, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, for he sends rain on the just and the unjust." Why? Because God is trying to get everyone in the world, those that know him and love him and those that don't know him, to get into reality, to learn who he really is. So listen this morning. If you've been living in darkness, if you've been failing to perceive the many blessings that God has given you, every good thing in your life has come from God, even if you have been ignoring it and rejecting it right up to this very moment. And all you've got to do is what those crowds to whom Paul was preaching had to do. Just open your eyes and see that he has not left himself without witness in your life. Put on an attitude of gratitude starting right now, and you will begin down the path that leads to greater happiness. But beware. Beware, because Satan will use what power he has to influence you. And even if today, spiritually, you are right where you ought to be in your mind, he will use all the influence he has to shift your focus. And if he can get your perception warped so that you begin to view yourself or this world in an inaccurate and untruthful way, he will do that. You see, Thanksgiving isn't just the response God deserves because of the ways that he's blessed us. But precisely because God is good, only good, and always good, and that the hope of all goodness and blessing that we have is through trusting him, Thanksgiving is a protection for our souls. By giving God thanksgiving and glory in everything, we help to keep ourselves in the right place. And this is why Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 20, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always and for everything? Yeah, that's what Paul said. Giving thanks always and for everything helps to keep us right down the center of God's path for our lives. It helps to keep us in tune with reality, and therefore pursuing the happiness that God desires to give us. And so an attitude of gratitude for past and present blessings helps to keep you in God's grace, and therefore keeps you where you need to be to ensure a future blessings. And so this morning we need to be reminded to be thankful. You know, it's one of the reasons why I love Thanksgiving Day. Because regardless of where I've been for the previous 11 months, it forces me to make a very special effort to recognize the goodness and the blessings that God has given to me and done for me and filled my life with, and to thank Him in a very special way. And it gives me an opportunity to renew my commitment to living the next 12 months with an attitude of gratitude. You know, these thankful reminders are very important for us, and the Lord has given us some in Scripture. I want us to think about just a few characteristics of thankful reminders. Well, first of all, they keep memories of past blessings fresh. When we gather around the table with friends and family members on Thanksgiving Day, our minds are reminded of last year's Thanksgiving and 10 years ago and 20 years ago and 40, 50 years ago, if you've been around that long. And we remember our parents and our grandparents, and we remember the good cooks in our families and the not so good cooks in our families too. And even that fills our hearts with joy and reminds us of the goodness with which God has filled each of our lives. You know, we partook of the Lord's Supper just a few minutes ago. It's a thankful reminder. Each week, it reminds us to remember we didn't save ourselves. That God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for us. That He died bodily on that tree and He shed His blood. That we, sinners, might be saved. Week after week, we're reminded of the goodness of God. Thankful reminders offer wholesome ways to enjoy present blessings. You know, even if it's not Thanksgiving, we say grace, as the saying goes, over our family meals together. And as we sit together and we say that blessing over the food, it reminds us every day that God is the founder of all the good things that we have in life. Another characteristic of thankful reminders is that they encourage us to keep trusting God as the source of all blessings. We need to remember those times when we did not know how things were going to work out. And God did something. God made something happen. God made it work. And we had the things that we needed. Oh, how many times that's been true in my life and in my family's life. And I'm thankful. And I want to be reminded of that again and again and again. Because when we think about our God, the reality is so good. The reality of His nature and His love toward us is so, so good that we can never be reminded too much. We cannot be reminded too much of all the ways that He has blessed us. You know, when the pilgrims celebrated the first Thanksgiving, they'd been through tough times and winter was coming, but the bountiful harvest with which they had been blessed ensured them that God had been with them and that He would be there with them in the time to come. Brothers and sisters, as a congregation of God's people this morning, the signs all in this auditorium are as plain as day that God has been with us. He's been with us as a congregation, and He's been with us all individually in so many ways. I know and I trust the nature of God that He will continue to be with us in the future. So this morning, I want to end the sermon with a prayer and ask you, if you would, to bow with me as we go to God in thanksgiving. Our Heavenly Father, we love You. We know that You are good and only good and always good. We humble ourselves in your presence, being so thankful for the many ways that you have filled our lives with joy and gladness, giving us rain and fruitful seasons. And Father, we trust you. We ask you to help us to walk right down the path of reality that leads toward you and to ultimate blessing. Help us to know happiness as we continue to walk in thanksgiving every single day. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know where you are spiritually this morning, but if you're not right with God, if you've got sin in your life that you need to confess or you need prayers about, we'll gladly pray with you right now that you can be restored or strengthened. This morning, if you haven't obeyed the gospel by putting your trust, your faith in Jesus, confessing that faith, being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and this opportunity is yours, please come as together we stand and sing.